Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Consciously Blooming. I am your host, Natalie Green, and I'm so happy to have you here today. For this week's episode, I thought we would do a Skincare 101 Part 1 episode, just because I'm realizing more and more people don't really know the ins and outs of skincare, and it's something that I'm very passionate about, and I think that everyone should be taking care of their skin. I'll get more into that later, but yeah, this week's episode is Skincare 101. We will start, as we always do, with what I've been into and what I've been up to this week. What I've been into: my Doc Marten lace-up sandals. These are gladiator-style sandals. I absolutely love them. I am a huge Doc Marten fan, and they are platform. They're super comfortable. I saw my friend Gina wearing them and was absolutely obsessed, so I had to buy a pair. They were on sale at Famous Footwear, and it was a sign, so I bought them, and I have fully broken them in and worn them a bajillion times since I've bought them, and I love them. So that is very much what I'm into. What I've been up to is getting ready for Halloween. I have not put out any decor yet. I have seen some of my neighbors already have their lawns fully decorated for Halloween. I have not decorated yet. I still think it's a little bit early. We're still mid-September, so no decorations, but I am starting to build my costumes for this year. Yes, costumes plural, because my friends and I like to go out for 2 nights for Halloween, just because who can get enough, right? And I'm super into dressing up for Halloween. I try to have creative costumes, and if they're not extremely creative, I like to really go all in on the costume to at least make that look creative. So starting to get ready for that, very excited. It's my favorite holiday, and that's what I've been up to. So let's talk about skincare. I am someone who is very passionate about skincare. I think I really got into it when I studied abroad in South Korea. By now, we have all heard about Korean skincare and how popular it is even in the States now. I think one of my biggest takeaways from Korean skincare, and a huge difference between Korean skincare and US skincare, is that Korean skincare takes a much more gentle and moisturizing approach, even when treating trouble areas and acne, unlike US skincare that comes in hot with harsher ingredients. We all know that Clean and Clear Pore Astringent that literally burns when you put it on. I used that all the time in high school. Very harsh. The issue with the harsher approach is that it can also damage our skin barrier. Your skin barrier is the outermost layer of skin on your body, the stratum corneum. Exactly as its nickname implies, this layer of skin acts as a barrier to prevent environmental toxins and pathogens from entering your body, while also keeping the water you need to be hydrated inside of your body. Your skin barrier is also slightly acidic, as this helps to prevent the growth of viruses and bad bacteria that can lead to skin conditions and infections. So, your skin barrier is actually incredibly important to your whole well-being. That being said, you can see now why it's so important that we protect that barrier. It is important to first determine if your skin barrier is damaged, and if it is, you may experience one or more of the following symptoms: dry, scaly, and/or flaky skin, itchiness, stinging, especially when you apply skincare products, tenderness, rough patches, inflammation, and/or irritation. Now, overall, my skincare routine is very focused on not only preventing aging, but of course, also protecting the skin barrier. I want to approach my health and well-being in a way that goes hand in hand with aging gracefully. So let's dive in. Starting off with my skincare cardinal rules, which any dermatologist would agree with, and you can ask yours if you have one. Number one, always wash your face before bed. I don't care how tired you are, how long your day was, even for my girlies over 21, how drunk you are. You have to take off your makeup or sunscreen that has been sitting on your face and in your pores all day. Not to mention all of the pollutants from the air and environment that are also sitting on your skin. Sleeping with your makeup or sunscreen on just lets those pollutants have extra time to soak into your body and takes away the skin's chance to regenerate itself. Not letting your skin have a chance to heal itself and leaving it covered in all of that grime from your day increases the likelihood and the severity of fine lines and wrinkles. Number two, always wear SPF. Even if it's a rainy and cloudy day, I don't care. It is so important that we wear SPF on our faces every day. The skin on your face is so sensitive, and the sun can damage it so easily. I know we all want to age gracefully, so wear your sunscreen. Number three, always apply moisturizer. Again, I don't care how oily you think your skin is. There could be many causes for your skin being extra oily, be that your age, your hormones, or the fact that your skin is so dry that it is overcompensating by producing so much oil. No matter what, your skin needs moisturizer. We will get more into depth into that as to what kinds you might need and when. Now that we've established the musts, let's go over the must nots. Do not regularly use makeup wipes. Number one, they're bad for the environment. 11 billion makeup wipes are ending up in the toilet or trash can every year, and they're not biodegradable, so they're horrible for the environment. If that's not good enough for you, the ingredients are really scary. Oftentimes, wipes will contain preservative ingredients such as formaldehyde-releasing ingredients. Yes, you heard me right, formaldehyde-releasing ingredients, and parabens. These harsh chemicals irritate the skin and can lead the skin to have more dullness, fine lines, and wrinkles. They are helping to speed up the aging process. And finally, they're not as effective as they appear. They're really just moving your makeup around on your face. They're not really wiping it all off. Number two, do not go to bed with your hair wet. Not only is this bad for your hair, because your hair is at its weakest when it's wet, but think about how bacteria grows. It likes moist, warm environments. When you're sleeping with your wet hair on your pillow, doesn't that sound like a damp and warm environment? So your pillow becomes a breeding ground for bacteria, and you're rolling around with your face on that bacteria pillow all night. Your skin is supposed to get a break at night, not worry about protecting you from bacteria and viruses. That's when it's supposed to be able to repair itself. But when you are sleeping on that wet pillow, your skin is fighting to prevent you from getting infections, and it can't win every battle. So you are going to end up breaking out, or even worse, getting a fungal infection. Number three, don't use scented lotions. This one I'm applying to both your face and your whole body. There's actually no regulation on what added fragrance can contain. This is incredibly alarming. While most people without skin sensitivity might not notice any irritation or adverse effects from scented products, those products are still layering those scented chemicals all over your skin, which is the largest organ of the human body. We absorb so much through our skin, and you don't want to be absorbing all of those chemicals that can have adverse effects all throughout your body once being absorbed in the bloodstream. It is hard to avoid fragrance, and of course, it would be best to go fragrance-free completely, but I know that isn't simply possible for most people, including myself. Just try to limit the amount of super fragrant products that you're putting on your skin, especially your face. And I do want to note, I do not support you putting Bath and Body Works products on your skin. They have so much fragrance in them. I mean, you know, walk into one of those stores and you're just being bombarded with those scents. Don't put that lotion on your body. Before I jump into the other tools that you can add to your skincare, I do want to mention three tips regarding taking care of your skin while sleeping, and that is using a silk pillowcase, using a silk eye mask, and sleeping with your hair up or tied back in some way. The reasoning behind using a silk pillowcase and a silk eye mask are very similar. Silk absorbs less moisture than, say, a cotton pillowcase. This prevents the pillowcase from absorbing your skin's moisture and making your skin dry and itchy. Using a silk pillowcase and silk eye mask are important for side sleepers and stomach sleepers because they prevent any traction from sliding or adjusting your face throughout the night. The silk eye mask not only protects the extra sensitive skin around your eyes, but also helps to block out any lights in your bedroom that impact how well you sleep. And everyone knows that sleep is a crucial factor in your skin's health and really your overall health. I personally use a silk scrunchie as well. I promise I am not sponsored by the silk manufacturers or the silk industry, but it is so gentle on our hair and skin that I use a silk scrunchie to put a loose ponytail on top of my head at night to prevent my hair from being all over my pillow and just touching my face at night. All of the products we put on our hair and the natural oils it contains do not belong on our faces. Keeping those things away from your face at night is just as important as not sleeping with wet hair. And if a top ponytail doesn't work for you, consider braiding your hair, doing a bun, or even trying the new heatless curl trend, or even trying sleeping with a silk bonnet. No matter what you choose, just consider doing something to keep your hair away from your face at night. Now, the last two tools that I want to mention that I frequently use are a mini light facial device and a gua sha. I also want to make another disclaimer here that I am not trying to push products on you. I know that overconsumption is a huge issue in our society, and I'm not pushing you to spend all of your money on all of the things I'm recommending. I personally have found these to be very useful in my everyday life and view them more as an investment, i.e., I'm really using these things every day or once a week for years. And these aren't just things I try for a few days and throw out. Everything I'm recommending today and in next week's episode are things that I've been using for an extended period of time and that have helped my skin look better than it ever has, and that make my skin feel good. Getting back to the tools I wanted to mention, the light therapy tool I use is called the Facial and Eye Photon Ultrasonic Device by Project E Beauty. What this tool does is transmit LED light into the skin. There are three different colors that it emits: green, blue, and red, and each color has different wavelengths that are sent into the skin that have different effects. The green light helps promote circulation and lessens irritation. The blue light helps prevent excessive sebum production, working to prevent acne caused by said excess sebum. And the red light, which is the main one that I typically use, improves circulation, collagen production, and has the most mild wavelength, making it the best for the eye and forehead regions. My device also emits ultrasonic frequencies into the skin to promote cell repair and increase blood circulation. The wand I use for the light therapy, again, is from Project E Beauty, and it goes for about $70, which is actually rather reasonable for what I have seen on the market. But again, this is not necessary to take care of your skin. It's just something that I use to increase circulation and further my philosophy on aging gracefully. I know when I explained that device and its benefits, I used a few words that we might not all be familiar with. So just to touch on those, sebum is the oily substance on our skin. When there's too much sebum, it can trap bacteria in your pores and lead to acne and irritation. Collagen is the building block for our bones, skin, hair, muscles, and ligaments. It is what keeps our skin looking plump and prevents sagging. The last tool that I want to mention is the gua sha. The gua sha is a facial tool that has been used for centuries in Chinese medicine. It has gained huge popularity in its facial use in the past few years as there has been a rise in skincare concerns and seeking alternative methods to help prevent irritation and aging. The main benefits of using the tool on your face is releasing tension in the muscles, depuffing, improving circulation in the face, toning the skin, improving lymphatic drainage in the face, and de-stressing in general. There is a very rich and insightful history behind the gua sha, including its effects on the qi or qi, i.e. our energy flow, and I encourage you to do research both on its history, but also on how to use it. It's very hard for me to explain its use with just my words. It really requires more of a visual demonstration, but it is very simple, and I encourage everyone to start doing it. I was gifted my gua sha, but they are very easily available online, and I encourage you to check out stores owned by Chinese business owners to support the culture behind the gua sha and to try and stick to authentic materials such as jade, white jade, or rose quartz. I know that this was a lot for one episode, so I will leave my skincare steps for next week's episode. I will end as I always do, and this is with a quote from Renee Rouleau, and they say, "Be good to your skin. You'll wear it every day for the rest of your life." Now with that, I will end this week's episode. Please like, share, leave a review, and again, share with anyone you think might be interested in Skincare 101. I hope you have a wonderful week. Thank you so much for listening, and keep consciously blooming into your best self.